They're having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
All right.
Alrighty, folks.
Good morning, students. We just did an intro so dark.
So horrific.
You
wouldn't know it was
concluded with an examination of the findings of Anna Nicole Smith's autopsy. But now, fresh slate. It's a new day. It's a new dawn.
It's the dawn of a new day.
I actually think it's like kind of fitting for this season that we're covering.
Season
4 of Real Housewives of OC, which is a really dark season that we actually had kind of a rough time watching.
This is our fun conversations.
Yeah.
You don't even know like the subreddits we're in, guys. Like, we've seen the darkness.
Oh my God. Yeah. The internet oddities. The macabre. We're into the macabre.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
and Lauren and I, we're always sending each other the worst things on the internet.
Oh yeah, some really disturbing, like we're really into I can't even say on here. Fakers of all kinds. Fine. We love a faker. And we'll just leave it at that.
We love a faker.
We're Pepinos. Mm-hmm. If you know, you know. This season of Orange County is, I think, to some, too dark for their liking. To me, just right. Mwah! This OC season 18. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It was this last episode. It's just so good. But
yeah.
Well, Vicky shows up again.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So I think that for some people, they were understandably a little put off by the group dinner where Tamara just attacks her former friend Shannon at the lowest point of her life.
Best friend and business partner, and just says, like, you're an alcoholic.
You should never drink again. You're a drunk.
We're an alcoholic. You know, Shannon's not going through the best time, and so it probably is hard to see your best friend call you an alcoholic on national television while you're at a dinner table with, like, your ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend.
Who's showing everyone.
Pre-fiancé.
Promise ring. Showing everyone receipts of from, like, the money bank that transactions. He sent you.
Yeah. She's like, it was $65,000. Like, so the whole thing is like, Alexis is talking about how, and Shannon is too, about how, you know, John Jansen wants Shannon to pay him back for a facelift that he helped, like, that he funded. And it was maybe $75,000. Also, is that how much facelifts cost? Or did he just give her money on top of the facelifts?
I think from Shannon's facelift,
she looks really good.
I think that cost $50,000. It was a really good facelift. All the girls agreed. They were like, I mean, yeah.
She looks nice. Great.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's saying it was one number, and then Alexis is like, it's actually like $75,000. I have the bank transactions, and she's like telling like the date that it like moved to Shannon's account. Like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, I just would never go up to my husband if I knew I was going to go to have like dinner with his like ex-girlfriend and be like, can you send me screenshots of bank transactions between the two of you?
Oh, I do that whenever.
Before I go to dinner, just in case something happens and I need to bring it up.
See, whenever I'm hanging out with, my husband's ex-wife, which is all the time.
All the time.
I am like, this was his 401k before, and this is his 401k now, and
did
you have to give it
to
back.
Did she listen to our podcast? Oh my God, we're going to have to take that out.
No. And also, like, they had a totally amicable divorce, and, like, Cam set the terms, and, you know, there would be no, like, yeah, I would have to create drama.
It's a beautiful co-parenting situation.
Yeah, beautiful. I can't complain. I'm not allowed. I'm the step parent. I can't complain. Okay. So here's my hot take about this whole situation. Other than like Alexis continues to be hilarious and like has written every single line she's going to say.
Like her confessionals, where she's talking about like, I mean, who would you rather want to hang out with? Lexi? When did she start calling herself Lexi?
all of this rebranding.
Yeah, no, when she called herself Lexi, it took me a minute to realize she was referring to herself, and I was
herself.
Like, Lexi?
Yeah,
like I was like, was Lexi like another friend of, like, I, and then I was like, oh, she's talking about herself. She's like, Lexi, you want Lexi at the party, and it's like,
Lexi and Johnny J?
It was Johnny J.
And then they have like so many just catchphrases too, like now it's because of the paying for the facelift, they're like, Shannon is liar face, get out of here, liar face. It's like, no one, it's not gonna happen, honey.
Oh,
like,
my god, no. And I mean, we talk about this all the time, Lauren, that there's nothing that like, what, like Alexis and Johnny J, or Lexi and Johnny J, they are only ever talking about Shannon. I don't know if they talk about anything else in their relationship.
But honestly, that's like, you know, it's crazy that they've been together for like almost a year and it's still sustained on that. But that is like a great, like, you know, foundation for like a 6 month revenge sex and, you know, spite connection with people who otherwise have no interest in each other, you know, is like to get back, you know.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I just feel like, well, they both want to be on TV so
she
badly.
She wants an orange so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's hard because it's also, she's
it's
writing herself into a corner.
He also made it seem like he hated TV.
That's what was strange. He seemed so uncomfortable. It reminds me a lot of Lisa Hochstein's
He's
new
not
boyfriend.
Good TV.
No, yeah. It's like, or even Rachel, like Raquel, because they're all people who are like very uncomfortable on TV. John Jansen was always like, felt very weird and stiff and stuff, but then like everyone off camera is like, he's just using you to be on camera, even when he was dating her,
he's using
like at
you,
the beginning.
And also like, nobody likes this person, like nobody likes him.
No,
like
one
the
was
other
like,
girls
give me
don't...
more John Jay. I
John
stand
Jansen.
Shannon
yeah,
and John Jansen.
Like, yeah, he's an awful person, and Alexis or Lexi or whatever, she's doing so much work
and not making friends with anyone.
Yeah, to rebrand this person. I mean,
yeah.
Listen, people should be her friend just because she has like brought
story.
A new inner. Yeah, she was.
She has story to push. Yeah,
yeah, and it's, you know, sorry to say, but like when Shannon is activated, there's actually no one better on television, and so like the Alexis Bledino, Blalino, Jesus Jugs, activating Shannon by having fucking screenshots of bank transactions from who knows how long ago.
She's pushing her
joining
buttons.
The gym. I mean, that's the other, it's like the joining of the gym. And like when, I don't even know when this was shot, like maybe not quite a year ago, but you know, it's not recent. And like her and John Jansen are still doing so many interviews.
Yeah. That's
all about
wild.
Shannon. They don't talk about like their wedding. They don't talk about future plans. They only ever talk about Shannon. And I'm just like, this is weird.
It's just weird because it's like Alexis, I mean, we'll get to her season next week, I think, or beginning of her seasons. But she is just, there's such a disconnect with her of like who she is. Like on screen of who she thinks she is, where it's like, I think she and John Jay, they really think that they are like the victims in the scenario. And they're like, we have to tell the world. Like that's why they kept posting like hashtag love wins
love
in their pictures.
Win, which
even
is
before
so
filming.
Like offensive. And it's so, what's it, like, it's so
appropriative. Like,
yeah. Like it's so like diminishing of like, that what that hashtag was actually like used for. It was what they used when like it became legal to get married.
Yeah,
so it's just, you know, hashtag love wins because she has like an engagement or a pre-engagement ring from Van Cleef or whatever, which allegedly might be fake, people are saying.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. And that's also weird because Alexis, her whole rebranding for herself is like, now she officiates gay wedding.
I don't know what she does. I don't know how John Jansen has money and why he wants it back.
It seems like he is like a housewife. Where it's
but
like
how did
his
he get 75,000? Yeah, but how did he even
TV?
Get that money to give to
Loans.
Shannon? Why doesn't she have any money?
Yeah, why is she? Well, I mean, I could see like maybe. I mean,
she must
is
be making
rich.
Something. Her family's rich. She's getting $30,000 a month from David, I believe, still, and she has the show. Which for how long she's been on? I think she's making probably $500,000 at this point.
I agree. I honestly think maybe it was like, well, I mean, I think she's trying not to get too dirty, and just doing her. Have you seen Soapdish? the movie from
the 80s
with Sally Field.
Yeah.
And there's like, and it's like, you know, she's this soap opera actress and she's going through like real life turmoil on screen too. And Gary Marshall like plays the big producer and he's like, people love seeing her suffer because Celeste is and always will be the queen of misery. And that is Shannon Bedore.
That is, she is the queen of misery, but
queen of misery.
She looks great doing it this season.
She looks so kind, I gotta say.
Hubba hubba.
Okay, wait, we haven't gotten to my controversial take yet.
Oh.
Okay. So Tamara, obviously, we talked last week about we're like, I'm not sure for her how hard she's being on Shannon. And like, you know, maybe she's overshooting it. It's come back around to hilarious for me. So like,
Wait, like, Tamara being an awful person?
How awful she's being has come back around to like really funny where it's almost like, you know, like the intervention episode of Arrested Development, or It's Always Sunny, or you're an alcoholic. Like, whatever. How would that help?
It just felt like, that was the other thing. It didn't feel like necessarily random because, like, Shannon did just get this DUI. Her drinking has been like an ongoing sort of theme throughout the show. But for her, like, best friend just to be like all of a sudden at like a dinner, like,
shrieking.
Shrieking. It's like, it was almost as shocking as like, we haven't gotten there yet, but like, where it's just like, what the fuck was that? Like Kelly Dodd being like,
yes,
you're a cunt. That's what you are.
Yeah, Tamara's like channeling Kelly.
Yes. It was like, yeah, she's like giving Kelly vibes, but like somehow Kelly was kind of funny.
Yeah, but Tamara, it's coming back around to kind of where being like, funny for me. Yeah. It's like she's so scripted. She's always been scripted, but like really this
but you
this
know what?
Is like so produced that it's like it's kind of making me laugh.
We do love a girly who scripts. We love a scripting.
Yes, we love a scripter.
We love scripting.
We're stand-up comics. That's the only way we could talk to other people for years.
Like actually, like Lauren and I only talk to each other in
script. We script. We just quote. Yeah.
Yeah. And like when one of us is just telling the other about just like our day or something like, you know, not scripted, it's like, oh my God, is she okay?
Yeah, we're like, what's going on?
And then we'll be like, now we said it.
We have to get back to scripting. And now we said it.
And now we said it. So nervous.
Back to the safe place. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. You know what else I'm excited about too, and really shows. Well, I love Heather Dubrow. She's like not the type of housewife I usually like, where she has never given us an interesting storyline. But
yeah,
I just love her. And this is, it's like because she does pro moves, like, you know, this new girl is coming after her and she's finding a way to make it Gina's fault. And I just love that. I'm so excited to see it. It makes me care more. Like,
she's a pro.
It makes it feel real. She's just a pro.
She's a pro. Yeah. She's never, you know, she's never like reached like dizzying heights like a Bethany,
Shannon.
like a Shannon.
A Tres Amigas. Like, she's not, you know.
Mickey, you know, but what she has brought is like, she actually has brought like the wealth aspect.
Yes.
And the snootiness, but like, you know, and also just the way that she takes herself so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And every time she looks at somebody on the show, she's always just like she's looking at them like they're poor. She looks at Katie like, that's just not true, Katie.
She's such a theater kid, but in an endearing way to me. She and Terry are like theater kids, but they're just dorks.
You know what? And they're kind of, you know what? I never thought about it, but now saying it, like, they are top tier. Like, she actually is.
Yeah,
and Terry, just like, he's always been a great house husband. Like, he's always, like, put it all out there, but he's always been so loyal and to Heather. But he also just, like, he's great TV.
He's great TV. And I love that he admitted, I mean, even though they're totally lying about the paparazzi thing, he's like, hey, if she is the number for the, you know, Backgrid, I would love to get that number.
I love paparazzi. I love being on TV. Like, he's just like very open. And I think that's like what makes some really good TV is like.
Yeah, he's just openly, he's not trying. That's what I like about them. It's like they are snooty, but like they're losers and they're not trying to be cool. And I identify with that.
Yeah.
I'm a dork and I see that in the Dubrows as well. They're grade A dorks.
I can't wait till we get to the season where Shannon yells at them.
Yes. Oh, you know, we have a name for guys like you in medicine. A penis.
You wanted to take down the Bedores. You will all see the truth. You will all see the fucking truth. It's like, you can't handle the truth.
The truth.
She's scripting.
She's my queen. My queen. Misery.
Oh my All god. Right. Oh, speaking of Misery, season 4, baby.
Yes, good transition because the season is so mean that there's even an episode called Why Are You So Mean to Me?
Yeah.
It is like the meanest season I've ever seen. Like, you know, so it's like, okay, hang in here with us. It is like there's a lot of darkness this season.
Yeah, but there will be some light.
There's a, it's very, the end is like our first or second real reunion where it's like there's, you know, reveals and drama and viewers asking also the meanest questions ever. Andy in fine form.
But also smiling so big when he's asking a very shady question.
Yes, yes. And then whenever anybody spews bullshit, he's like, hey, walk that back. Like, I love how on top of it he was. But okay, let's...
We'll get into it. We've got to
have our meal, then our dessert. Okay.
Oh my God, I'm going to throw up. Okay, so...
Tammy Knickerbocker and Quinn were fired after season 3, and Lori Peterson also leaves the show a couple episodes into a fourth season to try and focus on her relationship with her son Josh, who she tells us is struggling with heroin. Do you think that's dark? Well, guess what?
Guess
it's going to get worse.
There's more where that comes from, folks. Yeah.
So in their place, we have two new housewives. I think that actually in the book I read about, like, you know, the production of OC, it's like they said that Lori was such a good housewife. Mm-hmm. They needed Lynn and Gretchen, the two new housewives, to fill her role.
Was this It's Not All Diamonds and Rosé?
Yes.
Yeah, I read that, too. Yeah. I listened to it.
Oh, nice. Who does... Does Dave Quinn do the audiobook?
I don't remember who does it, but I don't... Because I don't read.
Personal friend of Lindsay Hubbard, Dave Quinn. Okay. Back to this. Okay. So, there's Lynn Curtin, and she's kind of like filling the Tammy Knickerbocker type role of like slightly checked out MILF with extremely tan daughters.
Extremely tan daughters, and daughters just kind of running amok.
Running amok. She feels like not even their older sister. I would say like the middle sister, or like she's just fighting with them, borrowing clothes from them, letting one live there after high school and drink underage.
Yeah, like very openly on camera. We're talking about her daughter Raquel. Another Raquel. This is like the original Raquel.
Yes, I think her first Rocky.
Her name was actually Raquel. But yeah, she's just like, she gets a brand new car even though she's not in school and doesn't have a job.
A BMW.
Yeah. And then she's like, whatever, mom. Like, it's no big deal. Like, you drink when you're a teenager too. And she's like, yes, but I don't want you to like drink and drive now that you have a brand new car.
And yet she does. Well, she might have just been bad driving, but immediately wrecks her BMW by driving into the neighbor's Winnebago.
And then continues to drink very openly on screen and people talk about it.
Yeah.
It's like getting like martinis. It's very funny.
It's crazy. Martinis were a big motif this season. Yeah. Big element.
I'm just like, okay, I didn't do this at 18. But like,
It took me a while to get some martini. I was more of, you know, like a watermelon Smirnoff type girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and then our other new cast member is the gorgeous Gretchen, who is 30 years old. Blondes, really pretty, mostly natural face and boobs and hair. Greatest head of hair, I think, maybe ever on Housewives.
It doesn't move. It's never frizzy. It's always like the perfect, it's like the Rachel haircut, but better.
Yeah, it's like a work of art. Mm-hmm. And she is engaged to a dying 60-something-year-old man who looks like Kenny Rogers. And he
when
is
the season
dying,
starts.
When it starts, he is dying of blood cancer. So,
but they're looking at a house.
Yes, and you know they're engaged.
They're engaged to be married.
Lots of scenes of them shopping together. And him looking
really
not great.
Every episode he's in, he's looking worse than the previous, and it's very sad. It's really hard
very
to
sad.
Watch.
It's not only sad. The season isn't only rough to watch because of the subject matter, but also because like. The vets, you know, we got Gina, Tamara, Vicky, they are so unwelcoming to the new girls. I think there's like a jealousy element, but there's also like, you know, we have more personality than you thing that we'll get into later.
It's like an initiation, but it's really
like a hazing thing.
But like,
yeah.
especially with Gretchen. It's like,
especially with Gretchen. Oh yeah, it gets really dark with Gretchen, and it's like, it's 2008, so it's like, you know, a great time for misogyny. Like, misogyny was rocking and rolling. Internalized misogyny was rocking and rolling even harder, and there is some real, you know, women on women crime. We just gotta say, the season does not hold up in a modern reality TV watcher lens. It is a bummer.
No. And yeah. We'll probably, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to issue, like, there will be probably, like, a trigger warning at some point.
Yes, we will have to, yeah. So it's coming. Trigger warning coming. Okay. So Gretchen's tagline is, I love jewelry, I love the bling, I love all of it. Fiance Jeff is, you know, spoils her. He even gets her a pink Harley motorcycle, which is the first way she angers Tamara, who, like, becomes her op. That's what kids say for opponent. And because Tamara also had a storyline this season with Simon where she wanted a pink Harley motorcycle, which they were shot separately. So I don't know how she, anyway, there's lots of, like, this is the first of many she's copying us accusations.
Yeah, it's like very like Tamara's like, oh, this is like, you know, this season is my own single white female.
Yes, yes. That's what she's trying to, you know, but I think really it could have been anything. Tamara knew, like, I need to, this resentment I feel towards her, I need to make this big for the cameras.
You wanted to be the youngest, hottest blonde on the show.
Yes. Jealousy is not a good color on her, nor is blonde.
No,
I really think she should go brunette.
Yeah, it's too brassy this season.
Jeff's three teenage kids, they're like in their late teens, like to early 20s.
Yeah.
They resent Gretchen because she's like the sixth wife or potential
sixth
wife.
Sixth up to bat. Yep.
Yes. But she does like challenge him. She's like, hey, do you want to, like, you know,
you want to come to help the take OC? Care
of, yeah. Do you want to come to see OC? Want to come take care of your dad like I do? It is pretty clear what their relationship is, which is like, they were in an arrangement, you know, like, you know, he was kind of a sugar daddy slash boyfriend.
Right.
And then he got sick and now she is helping take care of him.
Yeah.
And, like, make him comfortable. And they still have, like, a bond. They have been intimate in the past.
Yeah.
Like, it's an unconventional thing, but, like, there's definitely love, like, there.
There's love there. I think there's, I think she had genuine feelings for him. Like, I think had he not been sick, they probably would have gotten married, or at least, like, you know, made real plans to do that.
Yes, I agree. So the cast, they all take a trip. The new girl, they're all like, you know, Tamara, Vicky, Lori, they're all in the limo waiting, and Gretchen is picked up last, and the girls are, it's on site. Like, the second they see her,
she's,
they're like whispering
up
about her, like, Tamara says, lock up your daddies.
Daddy's girls. Here comes Gretchen.
Here comes Gretchen.
Which is actually a funny thing to say.
And many times Vicky, like Gretchen will, like, call with an update about Jeff, like, oh, he's in the ICU.
Yeah, ICU.
And Vicky will be like, oh, poor, sad.
Oh my God, I don't want to talk about, even though Vicky's the one who walks around all the time, like, we're all going to die someday.
Yeah, she's like, what if I was dead? Would you take care of me? Do you love me? And she's like, this is too dark for me,
it's
that
too
your
dark.
Fiance
okay,
is
don't
dying.
Don't come on my show and make it fucked up for people about your weird arrangement.
The tensions rise when all the ladies go to the Del Mar races and they are shopping for hats to go there.
Yeah.
And then this is, like, so dumb, or it's like Gretchen and Tamara are fighting over the hot pink hats, and Gretchen takes all the hot pink hats and Tamara's furious. And then, like, when they go to the races, Gretchen doesn't wear a hot pink hat. That is, like, a little bit where I'm like, okay, well, Gretchen is kind of doing it too, where it's like, this is like a child's,
and, like,
argument.
It's weird that it's, like, you know, pink everything. It's the motorcycle, it's the hat, it's like, what, they're women. I mean, it's like, okay,
it's so 7 year olds
so
being
weird.
Like, I want to be the pink ranger, you know, like,
I want the pink. Yeah, I'm the pink ranger, you have to be yellow ranger. It's like, what?
Yeah, I was always yellow ranger. Or
same.
Sometimes,
or like,
if
one of the guys.
Or one of the guys. Yeah. Sometimes I was Tommy or whatever the red one was.
Who's a blue one? I had to be the black guy.
Well, that's, you know, we're like, hey, we like all the Rangers. We don't have to be.
And I say, well, I did.
Can't really Joe Williams.
Yeah.
Oh, you were saying you, because of racism.
You
they
racism.
Made you be.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's just like in Pen 15. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. They stole that from me.
Gretchen, on the 4th of July, Gretchen dares to go to Bass Lake with her family. And then Tamara and Vicky are already there and they find out she's there. We see a little more about Gretchen's family. Gretchen is obsessed with her father, who was around a lot and is like, you know, still alive. But I just wish that kind of that Vicky and Tamara had seen that scene, because maybe they wouldn't be accusing her of not being into Jeff if they saw how weird she was with her dad.
Yeah, like, and then when we talk about the... It's like, Vicky, stop ignoring what Gretchen's doing and actually see what's happening, because this is actually so much better ammo. Yes.
Yes.
Like, I'm just going to ignore what she's really doing and just, like, you know, state what would seem like the obvious.
Yeah. You're missing Mr. Policeman. She's giving you all the clues.
She's giving you all the clues.
And I think that's what's really rough about this season is, like, they're not, because they're not engaging with them and, like, giving them a chance. It's like, we're not really seeing their relationships because Vicky and Tamara have such a wall up, you know. I think they were, you know, reprimanded, and they get back together next season for being mean girls. And they are very mean later when the cast goes to dinner after the 4th of July and Tamara yells at Gretchen, much like she does at Shannon in the new episode, for spending a night at Bass Lake while Jeff was in the ICU. And she goes, "Did you go to Bass Lake?" with her finger in her face. And yeah, they're just, you know, she and Vicky are like, we would never do that with our husbands in the ICU. We would just be there. There's time for that when he's dead. Like, just,
whoa,
like,
my God.
So,
meanwhile, Vicky has, like, you know, planned a million trips without Dawn.
And not invited.
Like, yeah, and she's like, "I'll probably see you in, like, September." It's, like, the beginning of, like, April when she's telling him. She's like, "I'll be back in September." He's like, "What?"
He's like, "What?" He's like, "Well, I'm kind of hurt that I wasn't invited on your trips." And she's like, "Well, you've got your trip. You're going fishing with my brother."
And he's like, "I'm only doing that because you wouldn't let me go on the trip with you." Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we do have a little foreshadowing after this. Gretchen helps Slade with Joe's music video because she's friends with them. It's Gretchen and Slade's first scene together on camera, foreshadowing. And Michelle and I were talking about how, you know, it's a rough season to watch when you're like, "Oh, thank God, Slade.
Slade's here.
A little break in the tension.
Slade the day." He's Slade. Big Slade.
Big Slade. And then, okay. And then this is, okay, trigger warning. Attempted essay. In Tamara's most evil move yet, Tamara sets up a 7-course like etiquette party at her house, and it's really just an elaborate setup to try to get Gretchen drunk to cheat on Jeff on camera with
her son
Ryan,
who she calls a man whore.
Yeah. And,
who is the newly minted bartender. And here's, like, the even crazier thing. He doesn't make a single cocktail. Like, he doesn't show off any bartending skills. All he does is, like, I think maybe pours some of the wine. He's mostly just pouring shots out of the same bottle of tequila, like double shots. I don't even think they're not dressed. They're not chilled. Like, the bartending, if we're just talking about, because I'd really just rather focus on his bartending than the actual crimes committed. Yeah. But
The crimes of the cocktail server.
He didn't even give anybody, like, a salt rim or, like, a lime wedge. And he's just,
and they're warm.
Yeah. And he is at an etiquette dinner where Tamara wants to show off, like, how many forks you're supposed to have and why you eat your fork with your left hand and not your right hand because of a European thing.
But it really, it's like, the reason that it's like an etiquette dinner, it's not because she really, it's because she wants to be like, "I'm going to get this girl drunk and look how trashy she
is." And she says,
compared to me.
And she says this to Vicky. She's like, "I want to get Gretchen naked wasted or naked drunk," which isn't
naked
even
wasted.
It's not a thing. I've never heard of it. And Ryan, it's like, she is kind of acting like, I mean, it comes up in the reunion, but it does feel like she is the one who told Ryan to be doing that stuff.
Yes.
And
Ryan is
very immediately drawn to Gretchen and plying her with alcohol. Like we said, she's not in a good place mentally. All of these things, you know, like, Jeff's health is starting at this point to very much decline, I think, pretty rapidly.
And he's still in the ICU.
She's very sad, right? So she's like, "I'm just going to, like, go to dinner and, like, have fun with these girls." And
it's got to be safe. There's cameras there, you know?
Yeah, the only person who tried kind of doing something is Gina. She's trying to take away the shots. But Ryan mm-hmm. kept bringing him back. But no one was looking out for Gretchen, and she does proceed to get. She is. It's one of the drunkest housewives.
Yeah.
Scenes I've ever seen.
It's not very, literally naked, wasted like Leah throwing the tiki torch, but she's very really drunk.
Like she's blackout drunk.
Yeah. But luckily, like, thank God, Ryan, like, you know, helps her go to the bathroom. And it's like, you know, your heart is in your butt, like freaked out, even though I know nothing's going to happen. But and then like, she's like, no, don't hug me. Don't kiss me. Yeah, I'm engaged. But she's a wonderful man.
Yeah. And she's like, but you're like, you are turning me on. She kept saying that too. Yeah, she's like, you are turning me on. But
she, I think, like, just, yeah, thank God. Like, well, I'm glad she did.
I mean, I'm glad if cameras had not walked in there.
I don't know. Yeah.
They were mic'd up, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Bravo, I mean,
no one would let him go back this there type right of now.
Yes. Like, recently in Below Deck, Down Under, something very similar happened. It was handled way better by the crew and the cast. Like, this, you know, I think that also nothing like that had ever happened on reality TV before. And they, I mean, not to excuse them, because it's like human decency. And it's not fun to watch. It's, and it is like the reason where it's like, there are some people who will hate Tamra for that to this day. And people like that, I'm like, okay, I don't blame.
Moving on.
Okay. So then all the ladies take a trip to Vegas at the end of the season. Gretchen is like finally, I think, a little bit finding her footing with the group. She gets a hottie whistle for Tamra and is like, hey, let's share it. We're both hot. This is all so such like second grade shit. It's so crazy.
Also, I'm going to say one thing about the etiquette dinner too. She made name cards like for where like people are supposed to sit. And so for Tamara's seat, it said Tamra and then just like quotations hot. And then like Vicky's was like Vicky and woohoo. And then no one else had a catchphrase and everyone just held their name.
It's so
weird.
Immature. It's so baby. It's like something you would really like get in a fight about when you're 6 years old. It's like, well, why didn't our name tags didn't have an adjective? Yeah. You know, it's so stupid.
Oh my God. Anyway. Vegas baby.
So then they all go out later that night because Gina wants to get some dick. It's fun.
Dick is fun. Oh yeah.
Newfound respect for Gretchen when she hustles Vicky at blackjack. Doing the Jessica Simpson act, but actually she wins all the money. So it's all looking pretty good for Gretchen until the finale party. Again, starting off strong, Gretchen gets everyone coin purses as like a nice cast gift. But then, you know, immediately, like, you know, Vicky and Tamra are like, I didn't know we were supposed to get people stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, they're a little bit like whatever about it. Yeah. And then Gretchen gets a note from Jeff where it's like, oh, I'm so sorry I couldn't be here for your big day, but here's a surprise. Yeah. He's still in the hospital. Yeah, thank you so much for everything. And then
I love you so much.
And it is a red motorcycle. And she's like, girls, we've got to come see. And Vicky's like, I'm not even going to watch.
I'm not even
like,
gonna,
I don't
yeah.
even care.
Her dad, the dad was the one who gave her the note. The dad gave her the note.
And then Gretchen, the way she says, everyone come see, she says, hey, everyone, look at this letter my dad wrote me. I mean, my dad gave me. And then my dad wrote me. I mean, no, Jeff wrote me. And I went back and I was like, what? Like,
oh my God.
Even calling her out of this?
Well, even like the way, like when her dad is like walking up to her at the party, which it is kind of, well, I guess it's understandable why he's there. Like he's in town, I guess, for Jeff. But he's got the biggest smile on his hand. He's like giddy about like, he's like skipping to her. Like,
yeah.
The look on his face is like, it's not giving a father's love.
No, it's giving a, you know,
a daddy's love.
Trump's love. Yes. Or a daddy's love. That's better. So this is all creepy, but almost better that I feel like the ladies don't pick up on that because they never really have a field day. Tamra is now mad because she's like, she knew I wanted a pink Harley.
And
but
it's not
like,
even it's pink. It's red.
It's red. And she already had a pink. And this is like coming off of a fight they had in Vegas where Gretchen orders like a dirty martini with blue cheese olives. And Vicky's like, she totally copied me. Everyone knows that's my drink. It's like, only you, what? That's like the only drink that like hard drink that we like, you know? It's like, are we copying Vicky? I mean,
it's like the only drink that I like. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's the best. It's the saltiest drink. And like Vicky is like acting like she invented it. And like Gretchen. Oh, Gretchen also likes salty drinks. Copycat, you know?
Yeah.
But we finally, after the finale party, kind of hear the roots of where this is all coming from. Like Tamara and Vicky are mad because they are like, oh, this is like an example of the way that she tries to make it seem like her and Jeff are like madly in love to us. And it's a typical relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we think they go so far as to they think that Jeff is like she's his nurse. He's just paying her.
Yeah,
to
they
take
have
care
an agreement and she's getting paid to take care of him in his last days.
Yeah, which I mean, I do think that could be part of it, but it's like they still. Well, just
even if it
alone,
is like, yeah, no, even if it's like fine, whatever, you get to live in this house. I give you a certain amount of money to spend on whatever, but I, you know, but also being a caretaker for someone dying of cancer would fucking suck.
That's intense. Yes. Yeah. And it's like, obviously she wouldn't do, you know, her family has, you know, they're not loaded, but they've got pretty decent bucks. It's like, she's obviously doing this because she does care for him.
Yeah.
And like, maybe part of, obviously part of it would be money, whether he was like, dying or not.
Yeah.
Like that's just the way with like, you know, it's there's always going to be an arrangement element, but like yeah, it's just they're just so shitty about it.
Yeah.
And I will say this for Gina is that this is the one time where Gina this season is a good sympathizer,
right?
And that she sympathizes because she's like, well, who gives a fuck, they care about each other.
Yeah,
like let
cares?
Them do their thing,
let them have their own, like every relationship has its like own thing. And
yes, it's all
he
different.
He seemed like,
you know,
a decent guy to her and who gives a
honestly,
shit?
Honestly, compared to Dawn and Vicky this season.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And Tamara and Simon next
my
season.
God.
It's like couples goals.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Let's take a little break.
These girls are having a break.
Rachel Fuda is pregnant.
Oh, like I give a fuck. So let's, yeah, let's get into Tamara.
Anyway, have a Sue.
Anyway, yeah. So, Vicky
there goes to her home away from home.
Yes,
like have a Sue.
And
Tamara's on this trip. Gina is in have a Sue, but she brought an entourage of a bunch of people that Vicky doesn't really like or care to know.
Mostly just one. Mostly just Frankie.
Yeah. But they're like, why does she always have like an entourage with her? Gina's always got like 15 guys around her.
But I just love that Vicky has a gay enemy. Like, that is really
who
fun.
Who doesn't want to be her enemy?
Yeah, but it's just, it's a one-sided.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
He, like, stands her, like, even though she was terrible
yeah,
to him.
Yeah, no,
and, like,
it's
bled
like, so
him
Frankie's
dry.
On this trip, and Vicky sees him. He's a tenant from last season, if you don't know who Frankie is. That, like, Vicky didn't, like, you know, in her confessional, Vicky's so insane about Frankie being there. He's not even talking to her, and she's like, why would Gina knowingly bring my nemesis? This
Gina's
gay
just like,
tenant.
Gina's like, I don't know why she kept like looking over at us and scowling.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think she cared.
Like, everyone on this trip is just so hot in Havasu. Like, it's like 120 degrees. Everyone has heat stroke and they're just drinking so much alcohol.
It's crazy, dude. And then they take another trip all together, Simon, Tamara, Dawn, and
trip.
Vicky.
Yeah, they go to Napa.
A couple's trip.
And it's
they
so stupid.
They go to like a fancy
a
dinner.
Very
it's
fancy,
like,
that's several courses, but not where a horrible thing is going to happen like Tamara's dinner.
Yes.
But
yes.
Something still pretty terrible happens, which is you realize that four adults in their 40s don't know how to order.
Yeah, have
like,
never maybe
very,
been anywhere
it's like a
that wasn't a buffet.
Menu and yeah. It's very specific, you know, it's like the waiter gives like pretty specific instructions, which is like you have two options for every course. So you choose an option for every course. So it's like fish or steak or, you know, and they're like, I don't know what, you know, it's like they don't know what to do. It's like they're so
panicking.
Confused.
They're like,
yeah.
There are no pictures
don't, you know,
on the menu. Yeah.
They're like losing their minds. It's like that scene in A Beautiful Mind where he throws the chalkboard out the window. He's so like not in a good place. Like,
yeah,
that's like them trying to like order a steak. And like Simon's like, I'm just not going to even eat.
I thought you were gonna say,
like, I'm not gonna eat, and like they're like, we don't know, but they were like, they still got like wine with every course but didn't eat any of their courses. It's so painful. And Don and Vicky are bickering the whole time, and then Tamara's like, Don, just like give Vicky a hug. And he's like, what? He's like, oh, my wife.
But it's like, Tamara does know Vicky, where it's like, that really would fix everything in the moment.
Yeah, like, make her feel a little bit. I mean, she's also really shitty to Don. I wouldn't want to hug Vicky either. But, like, you know, just, like, do it. Like, you haven't ordered dinner. There is a good scene before dinner where Tamara had gone to, like, a sex shop before the trip to, like, surprise Simon by, like, dressing in handcuffs. You know how girls dress in handcuffs for sex,
Lauren? Our favorite accessory.
Yeah, our favorite thing to dress in is handcuffs for, we're handcuffs for sex, girls. And, you know, we see her lower back tattoo and getting spanked by Simon. Tamara's always been like, Tamara's, you stay when I'm like, right before, like, they stay up until penetration.
Yeah, she loves, like, the shock value of, like, you know, having sex in the bath. She was the first housewife to have sex in the bath with her husband.
Yeah, she made the bathtub scenes pretty famous. It wasn't Meredith Marks.
No.
Or
no.
Karen Huger.
But there are cracks beginning to show, I think, foreshadowing in Tamara and Simon's marriage.
Yeah.
Like the fact that Simon has left his, like, really well-paying job to start a tequila brand is iffy. And then all the girls are really weirded out in Vegas because, like, Tamara is, like, not allowed to go to clubs without Simon, or not allowed to, like, get hit on.
But she does get that diamond ring, bitches.
Yes, but she gets a tennis bracelet, too, for her birthday. And that's really interesting, too, is he gives her a tennis bracelet, and she's like, oh, my gosh. She was like, oh, I'm so relieved. I thought you were, like, going to get mad at me or yell at me or something. And I was like, dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, so let's talk about Gina. Gina is, like, a little... She's, like, a little less sad this year.
Really,
she's, like, on the prowl. Yeah,
but she still has that shitty trainer who's like, you're still fat.
She's paying him now to not train her, but to lecture her.
Yeah.
He's diet lecturer.
He's so mean to her.
And then she's made her youngest son, Colton, be, like, her diet watcher.
And
so,
then,
like,
and
whenever
then
she
Shane.
Eats, he's like, no. Ooh, yeah. Yeah. So Gina is still, her feud with Vicky is continuing as well. They go to Chicago together to see Shane playing in the minors. And first they go out with all of Vicky's friends from Chicago, where she's like, Gina, these are my real friends. You'll never understand. These girls will do anything for me.
Yeah.
Not like you.
And they're
Gina's
not like you. And they're, and, you know, Vicky's like, they're good Midwestern girls. And, like, Gina's from Wisconsin.
Yeah, Vicky's just so mean this season.
So shitty.
Well, I did like, we saw Kimberly, the boob detective, again, because she lives in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I love that she was like, it makes me wish she'd stayed on the show, because she's like, hey, Vicky, get a grip. Your kids are like 24 and 22 years old. They're going to fuck their significant others.
Yeah.
They've been with them for like 5 years. Like, wouldn't you rather them, you know, be with people that they know and love and, like, not wait to get married and live together and know them, you freak? Like, I was like, oh, she really could have gone toe-to-toe with Vicky if she'd stayed in. She didn't give a fuck.
But she was getting skin cancer because of the sun in the OC.
That's true. It's better for her to be in Chinatown. But I wish she'd kind of had maybe... She didn't like being on camera, but...
Yeah.
Great friend of. And then Gina is really embarrassed because Vicky sees a bunch of, like, dudes she knows who are, like, married to her other friends. And she's like, they're all, like, really handsome, you know, Chicago, Midwest guys, corn fed. And Vicky is, like, sitting on their laps and they're all totally weirded out. And, like, Gina's like, stop, please don't molest your friends. Friends are not for molesting. It's so disturbing.
Oh, my God.
The inappropriate behavior.
So inappropriate.
Far too much.
So...
Not demure.
No, she's no wallflower.
No. So then they go to Shane's baseball game. And this is tough to watch.
Yeah,
because
winning.
He did not have He did not give them clearance to come. I think that, like, Gina wanted to surprise him. And he obviously has had, like, a tumultuous relationship with the cameras, mm-hmm. like, having to be on screen at a young age and be a gay sex symbol and stuff.
Yeah.
So when he's like, you know, texting her, like, don't fucking come. If you fucking come, I'll never talk to you again. And Vicky's being so judgmental. And Gina's like, well, I understand. Like, you know, I'm just going to take it. And then they get there. And then his, like, when they're at the game, his face is blurred. Like, I don't know how he did it, but he somehow didn't sign a release for the game.
Yeah.
And then they go to dinner all together. And he's like, you know, you shouldn't have come. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you'd like shouted something, I would have like hit you with a baseball bat.
Which is a pretty shitty thing to say to your mom.
Yes. And like, also, I mean, I don't want to excuse his behavior. That's like totally unacceptable.
Painful,
like Vicky said,
for
it's
a
like,
mother,
you know,
to hear that from their child, no matter what age, like I can't imagine.
Yes. But I, in his defense, which not to defend that is terrible, but I understand his feelings of being upset where it's like, he didn't want to be on camera.
It's like when
he moved away to get off camera.
Well, it's like, it was like, you know, that scene in a previous season with Vicky shows up at Michael's, like, you know, fraternity house or whatever. And he's
also in
upset.
Chicago.
But he doesn't get mad at her the way that Shane did, you know, like, you know,
he's just kind of like,
you really embarrassed me. You shouldn't have come.
Down.
But, you know.
But Shane has, like, you know, his dad is, like, after his dad's traumatic brain injury and drinking, he's a really angry person.
Yeah.
I do think that, like, he spoke to his mom, was, like, really,
really
cruel. And I think reflected the way that his dad would treat his mom, you know.
Pretty shit.
But hopefully he's not repeating that cycle with his family now. I wish and am optimistic for the best for him. Gina has a happy end to her season, though. She goes on a nice date
with Alan. He shows up
from Texas.
Boots.
Yes, and he lives in Arizona. He came all the way to the OC to meet her. He's a cute guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, still got some hair left.
Mm-hmm.
And then Colton, I really like the scene of Colton. Like, I've always loved her and Colton's relationship.
I love Colton. He's so sweet. Yeah, and he's like, no,
he's so
drinking.
Sweet. Yes.
No sex. He's like, having sex with a condom.
He's like helping her pick out an outfit. And he's like, mom, like, you stop wearing stuff that's so, it's your bottom. It's so, the material's so saggy. You got to show off your bottom a little bit. Like, it's weird. It looks like you're hiding something. Like, this dress, this is really nice. You look really pretty. And he's like, aw.
He's sweet.
All right, Vicky. Okay, let's get to our shining star. Woohoo! Her, tagline is, I want the power and the money, and I want them both, which is hilarious. I want the power, I want the money, I want them both. It's so redundant.
It's such a bad tagline.
Yes. Her business is taking off, her star is on the rise, and she's becoming very difficult to work with on camera. Like we said, refuses to stop emailing a lot of times during scenes, mm-hmm. even though Gina rats her out and says she's just typing, like, fun emails to her friends and not really working. She's, like, behind the scenes, I think, canceling shoots because she has to work, because she is, like, a businesswoman on the rise, and then she's horribly cruel to her co-stars and her husband.
Yep.
It's the first time we hear about her love tank, like Michelle said, which is basically a metaphor for
her vagina
and her gaping hole metaphorically of
and, like,
meat,
yeah, that will never be filled.
Like her pussy, nothing will ever be enough to
not
satiate
for Vicky
her.
Gunvalson.
She's insatiable.
Nope.
The funniest part of this season is her saving grace is, like, we learn finally what an accident-prone, unlucky person Vicky is. It's the first season of her freak on-screen injuries.
She
which
has
will happen
so many forever.
Pretty much every season.
Yeah.
Like, after. So the first time we see it is at Bass Lake.
There's
always
on vacation.
They're on a boat.
You know, it's always
on
a trip.
Yeah, it's always vacation. Yes, it's always
on
a trip. So it's like she's just on a boat and there's a couple of other boats where they're passing a football between the two of them. Somehow, Vicky's leaned over the boat and a football hits her on the top of the head and she goes, and it really hurts her head. Tears streaming down her face. And we get the talking head of Dawn being like, yep, that's Vicky. You know, that's pretty typical. Not even playing football. And she's the one who gets beamed on the head. That's how it goes. Oh, we get the replay of so many times. And then again, we see her. She's accepting an award for, like, cool business lady.
Yeah.
And she completely eats shit in front of an entire crowd. And Don, like, the way Don talks about it, it's like so. He's just not like, he's a good guy, but he's not affectionate and sweet enough for her. Yeah. He's so matter of fact. He's like, there was kind of a gasp over the crowd because it was just kind of dramatic the way it happened. She fell down like dead weight, like down. There was a step down. She didn't see it. And it was like down. It was like, my poor wife hurts herself on a regular basis.
It's so funny.
It's so, so funny. That's like my thing. Like, I know some people it's like farts, or some people it's like, you know, but for me, like when people fall,
it's so funny.
It is,
and when
so
Vicky
funny.
Falls, it's so funny.
Yes. It just like makes me LOL every time.
And I you know what? Her high pitched screeches are really
her
funny.
Screeches.
They're so
yes.
funny. Like Shannon's screeches are so funny.
That they're like the Maria Callas of like, you know, reality TV. They're like the great Sopranos.
They're great.
You know,
you will all see the truth.
So I do want to talk a little bit about how mean Vicky is to Lynn. So,
oh my god, and won't like apologize for it even when pressed multiple times by the head of
No. She well, first of all, her first introduction to Lynn, they're all like at a, you know, lunch, and then Lynn is kind of, you know, she's a little bit in her own world, and so when Lynn gets up to go to the bathroom, she says cut to the camera, because I guess she thinks that like the scene ends if there's ever anyone badly stop shooting. And Vicky is like, can we get her out of here, please? She's like,
I
just such
her.
A bit. I hate her. Like, she's an idiot. She's just so mean. And then Lynn dares to like talk back to Vicky and Gina when Vicky and Gina are actually giving Gretchen some pretty sound financial advice about like, you need to like make sure that
you're protected when he's
You're
not like, married. Yeah.
Yes. Like figure out what his will, like the fact that she hasn't talked with him about his will or life insurance policies or really what the plan is.
Yeah.
It's like, why would Vicky think she's getting paid when she doesn't even know what the plan is?
Right.
Like, if anything, that shows she really trusts this guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, but they're like hammering it home, like, you know, you got to think about it. And Lynn, of course, is like, you know, the reason they hate her is because they're like, oh, she's like this housewife who's never had to work, so she can work out 5 hours a day. Like, and she's so like hot and buff and stuff, but she doesn't know anything about life. And Lynn is like really like put on, she finds it very uncouth.
Yeah.
She's like, stop talking about money, you vultures.
Yeah.
And then they really come after her. They're like, hey, we're the mama dogs. You can tell your opinion, but don't mess with the mama dogs. And Vicky looks right at camera and she goes, I've had the wind taken out of my sails. She's so dramatic. Gina's mean to Lynn too.
Yeah.
Gina like says to her face, like, you're really boring, but we tolerate you on camera. But Vicky is the leader of the hate.
The leader of the
brigade.
Pack.
Yes. Anytime there's a woman who doesn't have to work,
Vicky does not like it.
Vicky is the most jealous of. Like, because she's like, you get a free ride, whereas I'm the one.
I have to, like, you know, talk about life insurance into my 60s.
Yes. Including, this is like, including she has an idea for a cruise.
The cruise.
Where she... Women who are like struggling financially, it's the cruise is to inspire them and teach them
like
about starting their own business.
Too. It was like an acronym or something.
Vicky
with
like,
her
who
cruises.
Can afford Vicky, to take this cruise? Like
Vicky
when
Gunvalson.
They are, but like it's like, who is this cruise marketed to? It's like, oh, women with no money, because I want to help them. So they're gonna take a cruise.
Honestly, you know what, Lauren? I would go on this cruise just to be around Vicky, though.
I mean, we would go on the
because
cruise.
You know
I
that
she would
all
the insurance
she'd fall
lectures. All
the time because she's on a trip and she probably has like bad like motion sickness at this point due to age.
Oh my gosh,
we could
you
give
could
her
Dramamine. Yeah, I mean, it's a look. I would love it, but like the people on the cruise seem to be people
she
who are genuinely interested.
Point. Yeah.
It does seem like she's kind of scammed these women who like really actually are wanting to make money. Like one woman who's like, you know, like when I, you know, graduated, I had to make money. So I had a son. I had to become a stripper. And we cut to Vicky saying, if we can get just one woman off the pole, this cruise will
my
be worth
God,
it.
My God, Vicky.
I know. She's very judgmental of sex workers. Michael ends up showing up and Dawn is there and she is livid with them that they aren't teaching and attending the business and insurance seminars and instead are wanting to hang out on the cruise ship. Like Michael's like, how could I teach one? I don't know how to, I'm entry level. I don't know any of this. Like, what were you expecting? But that's why she's hilarious. This is such a like elaborate, strange
plan. She's just so
plan.
Just like, I don't know. She's like so successful, but like so like doesn't know what's happening at any given moment.
She's falling down. She buys herself a watch at
and
the
she
end.
Tells
like
everybody,
all the,
you know, I bought myself the, this yeah. Rolex. It's not just any watch. It's a Rolex, and Dawn didn't get it for her. She had to pay for it herself, and it's really sad, according to Vicky. But not
yes.
sad enough to not show everybody
tell
the watch.
Everyone
and tell everyone.
And say,
how
Dawn didn't get it.
Dawn didn't get me this. I'm successful on my own. This is why women need to have jobs. Like, support yourself. You can buy yourself anything
Take
you want.
Take my clues.
But also, yeah. Dawn didn't buy this for me, and it makes me very depressed. And my love tank isn't full. In fact, I'm very sad.
Like, talk about copying people. Like, this is so Vicky copying
Tamara.
What Tamara got for her birthday,
yeah.
but saying, look, Dawn, she gets taken care of. I have to do this all myself. You don't do anything.
We also find
like,
out
it's so
she
pointed.
Buys herself another Rolex, and Dawn didn't buy help with that either.
Yeah. Which,
it's so
you know.
Stupid. Also, I hate stuff so like dumb. That. Like, I don't give a shit about a Rolex. If I saw someone wearing
yeah.
a Rolex, I wouldn't even know it. What's the
Same.
Point?
I don't know any brands. Like, you know.
You're worse than me, actually. And because, like,
no,
I don't
I'm
buy
the worst.
Clothes.
I
mostly.
Had a plastic, a purse that was a plastic
bag. And that was,
bag.
Like, that was a good thing for Lauren. Because that before
yes.
that, she didn't have a purse, but it melted.
It melted.
Can we just
in my
talk
car?
About that for a second? That's really funny to me. Okay, so let me tell you the story about my best friend. Lauren has really, okay, we both have ADHD, which, you know, if you've never even listened to us and just listened to this, you can tell.
You already know.
You already know. It's
you
pretty fucking
know.
Bad. But Lauren's is somehow even worse than mine. And like when Lauren goes anywhere, it's like you don't have a, she doesn't have a purse because like you think, she thinks that she's going to lose everything unless she can see it all in her hands.
It's my system and it's worked for me for a long time.
But it doesn't work because you lose your phone everywhere.
But I always find it.
Yeah, but you never know where it is. You're always like, I have to have it in my hand at all times, otherwise I'll lose
yes.
it. And then you lose it because it can't possibly be in your hand all the time. So Lauren was like, I'm going to do something for myself. Because like, I was like, you have to get a purse. Like, this is crazy. Because she'll have like 5 vapes and her keys and a wallet and her phone.
A notepad.
And like a notepad. Yeah. Like, she'll walk around with like a laptop. You won't
yes,
even put,
laptop.
He's like, you won't even put anything in your pockets.
No.
It's like when you see Lauren out, it's like, you know, when you like see a waiter, like with all the plates and stuff on their
yes.
arms, that's you all the time.
Bouncing
it's like vapes and your phone.
Yeah.
But so then she was like, she's like, I'm going to start practicing. And so her practice to get a purse, Lauren's 35. Her practice to get a purse.
36.
Was to get a plastic purse. Like the purse is like a plastic purse, like a see-through purse that you have to wear to like sporting
concerts.
Events and like Disney World to make sure you don't have like a bomb in them.
But you can see everything.
But you can see everything. But then Lauren didn't utilize the purse and left it in
no.
her car. And we live in Texas. And like in the set, like your car gets to like 500 degrees and her purse melted.
But it still worked. It was a good practice purse. And I eventually moved up to a $20 purse. It served its purpose, even though it melted.
It's a funny scene.
I can't come out tonight.
My purse melted. Like, what are you talking about? You don't have a purse. She's like, I did, but it melted. I used to have a purse.
Well, listeners will be happy to know that I do have a purse now and I carry it about 30%.
I've never
of the
seen
time.
The purse. I actually don't see you that often in public.
Yeah.
Well, you're coming over this week. You're coming over this
yes.
week. I'm making salads and we're swimming.
Oh, I'm excited. Yay. I can't wait to swim. I'm getting so pale. That's why I had to wear a pop of color.
Mm.
Okay. Back to the reunion.
Mm.
Now, this is where we're finally cooking this
season,
baby.
And they're not
baby.
Even calling it a reunion yet. They call it, like, Housewives Confessions.
Yeah, and it really
is.
Like, before the reunion, it was just kind of like, oh, you know, let's, like, it was kind of like a Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah,
with the whole
even
cast.
In this reunion, they kept, like, when it would, like, cut segments or, you know, flashback to the season, it said Watch What Happens.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's that kind of like the old reunions kind of became more the model
yeah.
for that show, except more like games.
Yeah.
And then this is like, I think this was like kind of inspired by Real Housewives of New York mm-hmm. reunion, which was very dramatic. And it happened like 6 months before yeah. this, where like Ramona walked off the set because she was so disgusted mm-hmm. that Alex McCord took nude photos in Simon's hotel. And she was so embarrassed to be associated with it. And so they kind of knew, like, all right, we got to raise the stakes this
mm-hmm.
time. Also, Tamara had taken a beating
yeah.
From viewers yeah. from how fucking mean yeah, she was.
Yeah, she's like, I got thousands of messages about how I'm a pimp. And I'm not a pimp. I'm not pimping out my son.
Yeah.
She kind of was.
Although she, like, kind of was. And that's what was so cool, like, watching this, is because Andy, you know, like, now he's kind of, like, checked out during the reunions. He's done so
he's
many.
So bored.
But he calls, he's, like, the voice of reason all the time. He's like, yes, you were.
Yeah, he's,
you
like, know? Such like, a messy gay during this. It's just yeah. so fantastic to watch Andy back when he was...
Like in full form.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was really like saying what we were all thinking then yeah. instead of having to
yeah.
manage personalities
yeah.
so much. You
and
know?
You know, so we also find out that like Jeff has passed away. Like he ended up
yes.
passing away like a week after the finale
mm-hmm.
was filmed, and Gretchen's still wearing her engagement ring. She still is in contact with his kids. We do find out that also, in fact, Gretchen didn't take any of Jeff's money. She never took that like legal advice. Like she's like, oh no, all of his money should go to the kids, and that's like, you know, I didn't want any of it. And Vicky and Tamara are just like,
yeah, right.
they're just like, you yeah. know, staring her down. Like, how does they're being forced to actually watch her storyline?
Yes, for once.
They haven't yeah. seen it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're so awful during this reunion.
They're so awful.
They're so, yeah. especially Vicky. Oof.
Yes. Well, Andy holds her feet to the fire immediately. Mm. He's like, Vicky, you were
so mean to Lynn.
You called her dumb. You called her a pothead. And Lynn is like, you know, she's actually pretty cool and funny about it. She's like, whatever. Like, they're rocket scientists.
Yeah.
Like,
and they're like,
and then Vicky says, see? This is what she does. She throws rocks at me. I never did anything.
Maybe
and
a couple
goes,
stones.
You never did anything?
No, she says, I never did anything. She's throwing rocks at me. And I never did anything. All I did is maybe throw a couple stones.
Couple stones. Which
rocks?
Is the same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, she's like, rocks. Like, what are...
Yeah.
It was so... Yeah.
It was so crazy.
She
but then I love that, like...
She just didn't want to apologize.
Yeah, and Annie's like, you've got to own it.
So
like,
mean.
You called her a ditz.
Yes.
And Vicky goes, well, not a ditz, ditz, ditz. I mean, a ditz, ditz, ditz. A ditz. And it's like, what are you talking about, bitch? And then, yeah, Lynn is, like, joking. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm a pothead. I'm at home smoking a bong. And then, yeah, Tamara and Vicky are like, what?
Why would
what?
You do that?
Look at her. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's so, that is so middle school. It's yeah. like they're, like, you know, evolving as bullies.
Yeah.
And then it's actually, like, so sad because then we move on to Gina. And Gina's talking about, like... You know,
Jane.
How she takes too much shit
yeah.
and stuff. And she's like, I just forgive people easily. Like, even I made a mistake the other day. Like, my father is losing his vision. And I said, you know, can you, you know, did you see the rain the other day? And of course he couldn't. So I felt really bad. I felt like a Lynn. And then Lynn bursts into tears. It's just too much for her. And it's so sad. And then immediately after, like, everyone's being nice. They're like, oh, like, Gina's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I know. I'm not usually mean to you. I'm sorry. It's just too much for her, you know? And Vicky goes, and speaking of crying, I cry sometimes, Lynn, when people say things to me, like Gina, and you throw rocks. And she actually, she really did something.
And now
weeping.
We said it.
And now we said it.
Yeah.
What are you talking?
Yeah, she's like,
and
so...
he's like, whatever, dude.
Vicky's never been good with her words. Like, she's never, the everything that she has said that is iconic is because she's like completely losing her mind.
Yes. Yes.
Like, the things that she says is like, you know, she's not okay.
It's just flustered.
Well, it's just flustered.
Yeah.
It's like, even when she's like, you know, she's like, I love my kids so much, but they're all grown up and they don't want to spend time with me. So the only thing I can do to keep them around is spoil them financially. Seduce them financially. So I bought Brianna a Mercedes. Like, it's just like, what? Yeah.
What? Yeah. She's so raw, you know. It's like she's saying it as it's processing,
mm-hmm.
as it's coming out,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we also learned that that Vicky and Dawn are working on their marriage.
Her love tank is not at 100%, but he's starting to fill it up a little bit.
A little more, yeah. Because, you know, her dad, I guess,
filled up her left tank.
But her dad called her every day and said you're all right.
You're okay.
Not even I love you. You're okay.
Yeah, you're okay. And I was like waiting. You're like waiting for her to be like, you're okay, and I love you, and it's every, you know, it's mm-mm. all right. He didn't do that. He was just like, you're okay.
Like, you're
and
then, like, okay. hung up. You're fine.
And her mom, she'd be like, is everything okay? Do you love me? And her mom's like, look at my shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm sure she's like, yeah. Like, we've seen her do it on the show to her mom. Like, mom, do you love me? She's like, yeah, of course. Like, can we talk about something
yeah,
else?
Yeah, but like, then it's like, you know, Dawn is like not... I mean, I don't know. I always really liked Dawn and thought, like, maybe
if Vicky...
Well, he basically raised Michael and Brianna.
But that's the weird thing this season I want to get into with you really quick, is that, like, Brianna says, like, she never saw him as a dad, mm-hmm. and that he wasn't interested in being a dad.
And he never adopted them, yeah.
But it seems like he and Michael have a different relationship, and part of it is that Brianna just, like, really longs to have that connection with
her real
birth
dad,
father,
yeah.
who's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know, I'm confused on Dawn
later
after this rewatch.
Like the way that Brianna would talk about Dawn, and she did sort of talk about him, like he was like
as
her,
her
father,
dad.
And you know, it was like, we'll get into it with other new, like other seasons, but the Brooke stuff, and she was the
yeah.
one who found out that Vicky was having an affair on Dawn with Brooks, but
mm-hmm.
But
it's just confusing where I'm like, was he like, because I remember him as such a decent guy,
yeah.
but then like now I'm like, he seems okay. And he doesn't seem, I mean, he and Vicky are not right for
right.
each other just because Vicky is, nothing will really ever be enough
but
for
he
Vicky.
Does, like,
and
see those, like the grandkids, like her kids, and you know, like he
yeah.
visits them.
Okay.
Yeah. Like he's always
yeah.
like, he visits them because I would follow her on Instagram. But he does like visit them, and like they're always like, the kids see Dawn as their grandfather.
Yeah. Well, then, I mean, I think compared to, like, the other men on OC, he's, like, far and away the best, obviously.
Yeah.
And maybe he's not perfect, but compared to, I would say, any other husband other than Terry Dubrow
yeah.
on OC, like,
yeah,
he's,
cause
you know.
Yeah, because I even felt bad for Dawn. Like, okay, like, we talked about it. Like, he didn't get invited on, like, most of these trips that Vicky was going to be taking over the summer. But, like, you know.
And never has been.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's, like, she takes this trip with her kids every year, but it's, like, Dawn's been in their kid, like those kids' life since they were like little, like
it seems
like
to me this happens.
Yeah.
This happens sometimes. It's, I don't want to, I'm just hypothesizing that I think that sometimes like parents, when they bring, you know, the step parent in, it's like they want to keep the kid close to them. Like they almost keep
yeah.
the other, they're like, okay, you can still like have the responsibilities, but like, you're still my kid. And this is like,
yeah,
and
but
this
it's
is
like,
not in my relationship.
But it's like, they live together. It's like, you let him go to fucking Puerto Vallarta, Vicky. What the
yeah.
fuck? It's
yeah.
so weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It seems like part of it is her intimacy hangups, but I don't know. It's really
confusing
watching.
How can you
fill up
your love tank if you don't even let him fill up your love tank?
Yeah. If you guys aren't fucking. But then also, like, we do see him be, like, a little rude sometimes.
He is rude.
But it's like, I can't imagine
living with
hanging
that
out with Vicky all the time and not wanting to,
be like,
I don't
know. You're annoying and you fall down because you're stupid and clumsy.
Yes. I mean, no, he thinks that's hilarious like we do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
he loves
her
the way that she is. And she's not, like, you know, she falls down and she screeches and she's scared of aging. And her dad thinks that's okay.
You're okay. Okay.
You're
all right.
You're
we got
okay.
to. Okay. You're okay. We got to get to Tamara.
You're okay. It's like when Lauren's like, you know, I got a purse. I got a practice purse. I'm 35. I got a practice purse. You're okay.
You're okay. My purse melted. You're okay.
But you're okay, right? You weren't in the car watching your purse melt. Did your car smell like burning?
Yes, it smelled like burnt plastic. I came out, I was like, what? And then I was like, oh no. It's like all
Why
over the.
Why did you leave it in your car? Also, it's like, someone could have just been like, oh wow, look at all that cool shit in that purse. I'm going to steal it now.
Well, I mean, I didn't leave any stuff in it. I just left the purse outside because sometimes I forget to carry it. I would just hold all my stuff. But also, my doors do not lock. And the,
oh, yeah.
actually, the part of the handle is missing on both of the doors. So I can
Why?
Be robbed at any time. And I have been robbed before.
Why are parts missing? Parts
I don't know. I'm looking for a new one now.
How did parts of both handles go missing?
I don't. Oh, because one went missing in the robbery, and then the other one just is like broken and fell off. It was part of the robbery.
Okay, Tamara.
Let's see. Good thing I didn't have a purse when I got robbed. This is what I'm saying. Okay, Tamra. So Tamra, you know, there's a clip show of all the time she was shitty to Gretchen. Mm-hmm. All the viewers hate her for what she did to Gretchen. And she's like, well, here's what I didn't say on the show that I wish I did. And it's the reason that I did all this. So I got a call from a guy who said, I'm Gretchen's boyfriend and I need to talk to her immediately. And she said, who is this? Jeff is her fiance. Talk to Simon. And apparently Simon talked to this guy for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And he said that Gretchen, he was in a car with Gretchen and they got in a fight and she's been dating him the whole time she's with Jeff. Mm-hmm. They're like secretly together. And she like just left him on the side of the road because they got in like a fight. Mm-hmm. And so he's pissed at her, so he's going to tell the truth that she's keeping him a secret. And that's what happened, like, in Bass Lake. Yeah. She was with him in Bass Lake, at Bass Lake. And so that's why Tamra was so upset. But Gretchen claims he's a family friend who, like, made a pass at her. And then so she kicked him out of her car. Mm-hmm. But nothing happens. And then Gina says, but Gina has, like, seen her hang out with this guy many times since and found his clothes on her floor of her house. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for me, this is not the smoking gun Tamra thinks. Like, I think probably Jeff wouldn't give a fuck. This is the whole, like, Bobby, or were there cameras at Bobby's funeral thing?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
It's just to make the lady look shitty when they were really loved by the dying person who, you know, now can't say that they, you know, and it's just shit, you know, it's, I don't know. For me, it's like, I don't really give a did she hook up with that guy?
Who cares?
Probably, but I don't really give a fuck either way.
And Jeff might have known, and it doesn't change the fact that also she did take care of him when he was dying.
Exactly. Like, nothing can take away the work that we saw her put in on screen, the relationship that they had because she was caring for someone, like, you know, God forbid any of them have to care for someone in the ICU and they're like, because that is,
I can't imagine.
That's like some intense shit. And they were so awful to her. Like, she watched probably him die. One of the most stressful things.
She saw him take his last breath and they were so mean.
Brutal. Well, that's a fun note to end on. What grade do you give the season, Michelle?
Yeah, probably an F.
I think it's an F. It's like
our first failing grade.
Yeah, I give it a D just because Vicky, it was the first Vicky injuries on vacation, and that is so important
to
the series.
It's so funny to watch her almost die.
Yes, and that's the problem. I think we've really gotten to the root of it, where it's like, seasons that aren't funny are bad. Seasons that are funny are good. That, like, really is the way, you know?
Yeah,
like,
funny.
There's no lightness, joy, you know, even if it's like a really dramatic season, there still has to be, like, think of Scary Island. Mm-hmm. That's one of the funniest episodes ever. You know, it's high drama, but it's funny. This is not funny.
It is, okay, I'll say one thing. So it's not, we just like leave it on a bummer of a note about Vicky and her prep falls, but
she's a true Buster Keaton.
I mean,
as well.
Honestly, like, the physical comedy that Mickey Gumbelson
Harpo
has
Marx,
given,
babe.
I know it's giving Lucille Ball level, like,
oh,
the grape,
Lucille
like
Ball.
In the grapes, like, when she's stomping grapes. Okay, she's dead set on buying this yacht, right? Like, she wants to buy this yacht, or this boat. It's like $1 million. She really wants this, but it's like, okay, she's on this other boat. She loves boats, and like, that's when she gets like the football in her head. It's like, why do you still want to have a boat after this like accident?
TBI, you guys. Yeah, you know how dangerous it is now. And it's like, well, we'll just sell like our beloved house.
Even,
and, like
she wasn't even
where
in
all my best friends are.
And like, Brown is crying, and she's like, please don't sell the Havasu house. Like, you're gonna die on a boat.
Yeah, it's a dangerous place for you. Just keep having
your,
like,
playing football.
Your cruises.
Yeah, like what if her MLM she's trying to form on her boat.
It's like Sea Org.
Vicky Gumbelson has what's his name's wife just in her house in Coda.
Shelly Miscavige.
That's where Shelly Miscavige is. It's like she's with Vicky on this boat.
So you can see her in the background of the insurance courses behind the strip.
And Shelly has to tell her every day, you're okay.
You're okay.
Okay,
Vicky.
You're okay.
Oh, my God. Okay.
God bless. That's better.
Oh, okay. So next season 5, it's going to be a lot more fun, a lot more funny.
Tamra's going to screech more.
she's going to screw. Oh, yeah. And then it's Tamara's marriage falling apart, which it's like, at least with Tamara, you know, in her storylines, she doesn't, she gives a lot of drama in her storylines. This is her only like good storyline too, is her marriage falling apart. So we're going to be eaten, folks. And we end every episode with an,
I think next season is the season, right, where she's in the car with Simon. She's like, I want a fucking divorce. Right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. She just does it out of nowhere. And she's like, wow, that was like so impulsive. But now I really have to like deal with the consequences.
Yes. The car fights. A proud tradition of car fights.
Okay.
All right. We end every episode with an oral exam. This is a 1-minute essay on anything in pop culture of your choice. Michelle Baber, are you ready?
Yeah, I might not have all my facts straight, but I have my opinions very straight.
That's all that matters, honey. All right. This is Michelle Baber's oral exam. Your time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove that there is nothing more exciting to me right now than Katy Perry's downfall. And she's never going to be a pop star again and probably never be accepted by society. And it's very exciting because I'm so glad that her last album that's going to come out is a massive flop. This fucking bitch worked with Dr. Luke, who everyone knows Dr. Luke assaulted Kesha.
Kesha.
Allegedly, because I don't want to get sued. But Katy Perry, when this happened, came out publicly supporting Kesha. And now this bitch had her whole album. He produced every single one of the songs on her new album. Anyway, it's a massive flop. She's never been talented. I've never found her interesting. She's just mediocre in every single way. But like women not supporting women who have been assaulted. Bye, bitch.
And then to do like a femme pop anthem, like girl boss anthem with him.
The
is
girl
like...
bossing like feminism is the most offensive thing to me.
Yes, it's so
so
like,
bad.
Intersectional or like non-intersectional. It's like
it's just so misses the mark.
It's so 2014. It's like I'm so fascinated by her. Where I'm like,
how was she ever popular?
What is she thinking?
Well, and it's like you know. Yeah. Like, oh, and the other thing she did recently is like she was like she tries being like, oh, I'm such a liberal. Like she was at Obama's like inauguration with John.
But
Mayer.
Then she supported Rick Caruso.
Yeah, she tried getting people to vote for a Republican mayor in Los Angeles. Like she comes from a very like, and I would never judge somebody from this. So she comes from a very conservative Christian background. So does my husband, but he's not a piece of shit, and he's not conservative or Christian. But she has like a tattoo that says Jesus. By the way, it doesn't even matter if you're religious. She's just like so hypocritical.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I don't really trust her relationship with Orlando Bloom.
Yeah. I can't believe it shocks me they're still together.
Something's, I don't know what's coming.
Well, both of their careers, what's happening with either of their careers? Like, he has a travel show?
He does.
Like, what are they doing?
I don't know. I know that they're on the Daily Mail pretty regularly. They've been in Europe for a while.
Papouas.
And they had a kid.
They're famous for being famous.
They have a kid. Yeah.
I feel like her heart's not in it anymore, but she feels like she has to, it's like, hey, you don't have to stay famous.
No.
You can just leave.
And like
you know?
Like everybody moved on without her, or there's just like, you know, there's like all these other pop stars. I don't really follow like music like that, but anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I can't tell you like a lot of Billie Eilish songs or like Sabrina Carpenter,
but
they're better humans than.
Oh, for sure. And they're all like young and, you know, have good Gen Z politics. Yeah. Billie Eilish is an environmentalist and
vegan. And she, you know, eats pussy.
Yeah.
And she doesn't
I watched that
song about I kissed a girl and I liked it. Fuck you.
No, she's like, I want to spit on it, move it to the
side. Put up all up in it. So we do know some of the songs. Yeah. I didn't want to say it, but like, I was like, I saw that and I was like,
oh,
gay.
Yeah,
okay.
I was like, I didn't know that. I didn't know that she was out as.
Yeah, I didn't know, but I'm very in.
Yeah. I'm too young for me.
Oh yeah, you need like a 95-year-old man that you jerk off at a movie theater while you're holding your phone and your vape.
He was 31 and I was 19.
Were you
okay.
holding a phone and a vape in your hands while you were jacking?
No, because vapes weren't out yet.
Were you holding
I was
a
that old.
Of cigarettes?
No, well, probably. And we were watching Iron Man 2. Thank you very much.
I'd rather give somebody a blowjob than watch any of the Marvel movies.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, you know, that's why.
That's when you and Cam have sex, probably, when he puts on
a Marvel movie.
Or, like, anything
and I just science start blowing
fiction. Him. I'm like, I will eat your ass, okay? Please don't make me watch this.
Not the Acolyte again.
Yeah, oh my God, what does this mean? Why are they in space or whatever? I don't get it. I don't understand it.
He sucked me into a couple and then they both ended up being quite terrible. All right, let me do my oral exam. Okay. Yeah, okay. This is Lauren Davis's oral exam and my time starts now. Okay, in this essay, I will prove the Love Island USA fandom, which there's a huge one. This was a really big season. It was the best season of US Love Island ever. There was a lot of drama. There was a lot of strong personalities, a lot of like moving around. But I like feel insane because like when I watch Love Island, I've never followed any of them unless it was like they're just like hot and they're being hot. People like worship these girls, like this, like PPG, like, you know, that they're, because they're Powerpuff Girls, they're like Leah and Janae and Serena, and they're all like pretty girls and their friends, but it's like, ooh, I just Love Island to like, you know, have role models. It's so strange to me. Or like even parasocial friendships. Yeah. Like, sorry, this is not why I would ever watch reality TV, much less a dating show of hot people. Mm-hmm. It's more like an anthropological study of like, oh, this is how hot people make.
Right.
But to like, you know, be obsessed with their every move and like, you know, like be mad at anyone who has ever hurt them.
Yeah.
It's all just bizarre. Like when people get obsessed with Bachelor and Love Island people, I'm like, what? I do not understand you and I never will.
What? Yeah.
I just don't get it. I'm like, you watch them.
I still haven't seen it, but maybe I will.
It's like watching like a David Attenborough, like, you know, nature documentary and then being like, oh no, I want to follow like all the penguins afterwards and see everything they're doing. Cause these are like the coolest, funniest penguins. It's like,
yeah. And they're still like dropping eggs once a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Those damn penguins.
Like the show is boring. Like that's the whole thing. It's boring. So
yeah, no, that's the thing. I have tried watching. I have tried watching UK Love Island. I did try not this season of the US Love Island, but it's like I can't. It's like, what's happening? I don't get it.
Oh, it's so boring.
I was so bored.
Cam got me into it, and the way he said it was correct, where it's like he watched it all during his divorce, and he said, but the fact that I was able to watch it all during my divorce, it's because something has to be wrong with your brain.
Yeah, it's like that's what you kind of did with Traitors. You weren't...
Something was wrong with my... I had an imbalance that I was using Traitors to correct.
And when I watched...
And it helped.
Yeah, it's like, you know, these are like when I watched all of Kardashians... It was when I was really depressed the first time I left the mental hospital.
Yeah. I bet it's good for that. It's like, that's
it's
like low
real, it's like there's, it's like
you know,
low
salads,
stakes.
Hanging out.
Yeah. I mean, like the most controversial, I mean, there was, you know, some controversy on Kardashians was like, you know, Kendall Jenner's Pepsi commercial. My career.
Oh, do they actually deal with that
they
on the
do.
Show?
Yeah. And like him has to like kind of walk her through like, this is the first time you've had a scandal. And they talk about it, I told you I gave birth to Ruby while watching the Kardashians, right?
That's so sweet.
I was watching it all day long while I was in labor, and I remember...
Did you give her a middle name that has that starts with a K?
No.
As like an homage?
So it was, like, the episode... I had already seen this episode. It was just, like, on TV. But it was, like, the episode I gave birth, like, right when she came out was Kim... not doing well, actually. It was shortly after her burglary where she was robbed naked at gunpoint in Paris. And
God.
So she's like dealing with like a lot of PTSD. She had been having panic attacks all day, like didn't want to shoot. Like you hear her like crying and she's trying to tell. So the only person that was in Paris with her when this happened was Courtney, but she was at the club. So she didn't know Kim was getting robbed. And Kim is telling her family and Courtney's there like the story of like what was going through her head while she has a gun pointed at her. And she said, I just hope when Courtney, I would say, dear God, I just pray to you that when Courtney finds my dead naked body in the bathtub, that like she gets to have a normal life, like that she's going to be okay and like have a normal life after seeing something so traumatic. Ruby started crying.
And that's when Ruby came out.
And then, so I remember when Ruby came out because Courtney goes, yeah. My daughter came out of my vagina.
And she came out naked into the tub of life, just like Kim's body would have been had she been murdered.
Bloodied and not looking right.
That's the circle of life. That's so beautiful. What a beautiful note to end on. We love you guys. Follow us for more birth stories on TikTok and Instagram, Bravo_breakdowns. We have a social media person now, so expect more content, baby. Watch this on YouTube. Like it on YouTube. Subscribe to us on YouTube. If you are watching on YouTube, as always, we'll end by showing you our boobs. Bye.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo.